Promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. First Corinthians 1, 18 to 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Children of God, God shames the wisdom of the world with the foolishness of the cross. The Father showed his love in reconciling the world to himself in a way that the world thinks illogical, foolish even. Jesus Christ, God's Son, showed true strength, true love, by suffering a brutal death for sinners in enmity with God. So in this, beloved in the Lord, God himself promises all those united to Jesus Christ through baptism and faith. He promises the victory of the Son, the forgiveness of the Father, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond to God's saving grace by singing faithfully, joyfully unto him. Brothers and sisters, the church has the responsibility to prepare the saints for the works of ministry that we may all grow into maturity, the measure of fullness in Christ. And one way we do this is growing in wisdom. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. So let us go to Christ for wisdom that we may grow in him and love him and serve him. God's will for life this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. These are the words of God. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding, proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? O God, full of all consolation, who loves equity and detests all hypocrisy and iniquity, we pray, O Lord, destroy the enterprises of all those who seek our destruction. Be our strength and protector as those who trust in You. In all spiritual joy, we may sing praises to the displaying of Thy glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are grateful, Lord, for Your calling us into Your presence this day, for saving us in Your Son, and strengthening us in Your Holy Spirit. We offer ourselves now to You as living sacrifices, desiring, Lord, to be changed. We place ourselves on the altar of Jesus Christ and ask that the Spirit of Your Word to cut us up, to shape us and change us, to put to death sin that clings so closely in our lives. We ask, O Lord, that You'll melt away the dross, that our weakness, that where we find our weakness, fighting against sin. Speak to us now, O Lord. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to love, and move our souls joyfully to respond to Your grace by living by faith, going forth from Your house into the world to proclaim the glorious truth of Jesus Christ for the salvation of the world. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. Please stand together and sing to God, who is wisdom. Our sermon text this morning is Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It's a good reminder of God's grace and blessing and fatherhood to have noisy kids in the service. So thanks, kids, all the squawking and hand clapping and bouncing around. Acts 6, 1 through 7, brothers and sisters, the words of God are being read in your hearing. Hear them with faith and do not harden your hearts. Acts 6, 1 through 7. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Now you may have already noticed in our sermon text this morning that about 2 months ago, In my absence, Pastor Seth Sundstrom preached from this exact text. So my aim this morning is not to repeat what he has already said, but to focus on a different angle that's still in the text. There's more than one thing going on in the text. So if I can expand on one point that he did make, I'd like to point out the apostles' focus on the word and prayer. The apostles, in the midst of this crisis in the church, and it was a crisis, they viewed the success or the growth of the church more due to the faithful attention to God's word and to speaking to God in prayer. That is, to their role in it. The care of the body through mercy ministry was still important. But the apostles, in their role in the church as leaders, could not set aside word ministry and prayer service. So, that is one thing that we ought to draw from this text, is the apostles as leaders, as teachers of the church, had to continue to focus on the word and prayer if the church was to continue to grow. So if we are to apply this example to Hamlin Reformed Church, the focus of word and prayer falls primarily to your pastor. My role as your minister, as your pastor, is the minister of word and sacrament. That is my official title in serving this church. My primary role, not my only role, but my primary role is ministering the word to you and praying for you and over you. So in the early church, mercy ministry went to whom? To the body. To care from within the body. Care for the body has to come from within the body. Okay, that does not mean pastor doesn't care for the church. It just means primarily care comes from within the body. This was the directive from the Spirit-empowered apostles. Find some leaders from within to make sure the congregation receives care. Okay? Apostles, focus on word and prayer. Mercy ministry, care, body. Hamlin, word, prayer, pastor. Care from within the body, primarily body. You, in your covenant responsibility, you have put forth leaders, haven't you? You have put forth leaders to care for the body. You've elected four elders and four deacons. And they are to exercise primary care over the body. The elders have the biblical responsibility to watch over your souls, to pray for you, and to offer wise and godly counsel. Those are from the elders. The deacons provide mercy ministry in making sure the needs of the body are met. We had an example a couple of years ago. We needed a wheelchair ramp built for one of our members, and the deacons stepped forward and made sure that got done. We also do this at Hamlin through caring communities. I know caring communities have been done in the past, and they've looked different depending on the elder and deacon and the community. But right now, our caring communities ensure that each member has an elder and a deacon, providing regular care and monthly contact with you. Okay, the elders and the deacons ensure that you have regular care and monthly contact. Now, it is wrongheaded, and I've heard this, and a lot of times it's just joking, to suggest, well, you're the one we pay, therefore you get to do all this stuff. Right? But I'm afraid that there's actually some truth believed in this congregation because of it. So that would be wrongheaded to assume that because you pay one person, they get to do all the roles that the early church had to do. The pastor doesn't swallow all of them up, and the body is not released from the body's responsibility to care for one another. So that's how it's lived out here at Hamlin. Here in Acts 6, God rewarded and blessed the faithful response of the body and the apostles. The word of God spread rapidly, and many, many came to the faith, including enemies of the church. Verse 7. The word of God spread, the number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. A large number of priests. Those are Jewish priests who opposed Jesus and opposed the apostles. Through the ministry of the apostles with the word and prayer and the body caring for itself, the Lord blessed the church and even brought enemies of the faith, Jewish priests, into the body. The church made a faithful decision. The church used wisdom. And God honored it. So if you want to know how God views how his people handle a situation, look at the response. How did God respond? He blessed them. Now the situation here with the church was a crisis situation. There was a division in the body. You had the Grecian Jews or the Greek Jews. The Greek Christians. And then you had the Jewish Christians. And there was a divide. The Jewish Christians their widows were being taken care of. The Greek Christians, their widows weren't. So you had a divide, an ethnic divide. And this could have been, this was a gospel-threatening issue. If you remember in Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul wrote that the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, Christ broke down through his death. There was no more division between cultural groups. But now in the early church, Jews and Gentiles were having issues. The Lord had blessed the church with thousands of people coming to the faith. The church was growing. And this issue, this division, was important enough that the people felt they had to bring it to the 12. Okay, so imagine a church with thousands of members. And you have a Monday night consistory meeting with 12 apostles. And some representatives from the Greek Christians come and say, our widows aren't being taken care of. We're mad about it. You have to handle this. So that was the situation before them. So the apostles exercised wisdom. Now I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the books of Moses. I'm joking. Turn to the first 5 books of Moses and find in the law where it says how to handle when Hebrew Christians and Greek Christians disagree and have issues. Now I say I'm joking because it's not there. It's not in the law how to handle this situation. And that often comes up with leadership in the church. You get situations and you're... Where is that in here again? 2 Chronicles? Is it in Proverbs? You get an explicit situation without an explicit directive. Without an explicit command from God on how to handle this. So what are the leaders supposed to do? Nothing in the law. Nothing in the Psalms, nothing in the prophets. What do we do to address this crisis? No easy answer. The maturity and God-given wisdom of the apostles helped them address this crisis. Their maturity and their God-given wisdom, where they could say, church, you pick the leaders. Pick 7, because 7 is a good number, right? Pick 7 leaders, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And in that decision, even though it's not in the Word explicitly, in that decision, the apostles exercised wisdom. And then they said to the people, you use wisdom. This is a very important decision. You have to elect leaders. Use wisdom. Now, this is before Paul wrote 1 Timothy or Titus, where he had given requirements for leaders in the church. So the people had to discern themselves. They had to discern themselves which leaders among them had the Spirit, had wisdom. Okay? They didn't just pick 7 guys with good distribution skills. They didn't pick 7 waiters who were really good at attending tables. Wisdom and the Spirit. So in this situation, the apostles exercised wisdom in addressing it. The church used wisdom in selecting new leaders. And they sought out leaders with the Spirit and wisdom. So, from this, we need to draw out that wisdom was at the focus of the solution and the crisis of the church. All right, let's have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. I see your eyes. Good job. Good morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. All right. Who can raise their hand? Come on, Michelle. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is special about today? Yes. It's Father's Day. Raise your hand if you're going to say Father's Day. Okay. Good job. Raise your hand if you love your dad. Okay. All the hands went up, dads. All right. Raise your hand if you made a card or got a present for your dad for Father's Day. Okay, not all the hands went up, dads. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you said Happy Father's Day to your dad this morning. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you're going to say Happy Father's Day to your fathers later. Okay, hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me who gave you your dads? Who gave you your dads? Emma? God. God gave you your dads. We talked about this last week, didn't we, with the sprinklers and the pools and the air conditioners. Who gives us all our blessings? God. We sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That includes dads. Okay, who can raise their hand and tell me what is one blessing that God has given you through your dads? Let me ask that question in a different way. Raise your hand if you can give me one example of how dads have blessed you. How have your dads blessed you? Some of you are stroking your chins because you're thinking hard about it. Evan, give me one example. Provides food for the family. That's a good one. Who has other ones? How have your dads blessed you? Dean?
Letting you get away with stuff.
Letting you get away with stuff. All right. You just prepare these funny one-liners before you come up here, don't you? Come on, any more examples? Don't tell me you don't have any other ideas. Okay, who can raise your hand and tell me what do you love about your dads? It's only one hand up. Caleb.
Because they love me back.
He loves you back. Okay. I'm not calling on you, Dean. Cassie, can you give me a reason you love your dad? Put you on the spot. Noah, do you have a reason you love your dad? Lee, I'll call on you. Do you have a reason you love your dad? Raise your hand if your dad teaches you the Bible. Okay? Hands down. Raise your hand if your dad plays with you. Hands down. Raise your hand if your dad wrestles with you. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if your dad reads to you. Okay? Hands down. Raise your hand if your dad gives you hugs and kisses. Okay, hands down. Those are all good things, right? Yeah. They're all good things. You like that about your dads. You love that about your dads. Yeah. Michelle, why don't you sit down? Sit down. Sit down. All right. So, if we praise God from whom all blessings flow, today we can thank God for whom? Evan?
Our dads.
And we can say, Dad, you want to play? Dad, you want to color? Dad, will you read a story to me? Dad, can we do family worship? Okay, these are all things that you can ask Dad to bless you with. Okay, so let's go to God now in prayer and thank Him for blessing us with our dads. You can repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and giving us good dads. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be thankful for our dads and to obey them in our honoring of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can head back to your seats and give your dads hugs when you get back. So wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from God. God is the source of wisdom. If we have wisdom, it's because God has given it to us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start with God. We start with faith, and we start with our covenant relationship with God. And by his blessing, he grows us in maturity. He grows us in faith, and he blesses us with wisdom. But wisdom doesn't just happen. Just because someone is old or experienced or gray-headed, just because someone's been a Christian his or her whole life, does not guarantee he or she will have wisdom. Wisdom is a gift that God gives to those who respond to him in faith, those who pursue godly wisdom in him. He gives wisdom to those who pursue it. So what should we do? Pursue wisdom. We must pursue it from God. He commands in his word, get wisdom. Go get it. Come get it. Pursue it. It's there for you. Go get it from God. So it should not strike us as surprising as the wise apostles focused on the word and prayer. They made a wise decision because they had wisdom. How do you think the apostles came to be wise? They spent 3 years every day with intense learning from Jesus Christ himself. They heard from the Word every day for 3 years. They heard from the Word. And they talked back to Jesus. They had conversations with Jesus. He taught, they responded. So what is that? That's learning the Word and it's speaking back to God in prayer. So that's how the disciples who came to be apostles grew to be wise. The word and prayer. We have a responsibility as Christians, God's people. We have a responsibility to shine God's light to the world. We are to speak a prophetic voice. We are to speak truth to the unbelieving world. And some of you may have noticed recently that our world is a little crazy, right? What's going on around us as God's people is insane. You watch the news, you read the paper, and these stories just leave you shaking your head. We have examples of the unbelieving world regarding depravity with sexuality. We have the recent dust-ups over which bathrooms you can use. Our main candidates for president leave a little something to be desired. And let us not forget the insane and wicked practice of killing 60 million babies over the last 40 years. So when God in his grace saves us, and he works in us, he renews our minds, he writes our minds. He teaches us truth. He gives us ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to understand. And we respond to his grace by faith, and we grow. We grow as disciples. Okay? So when God saves us, we respond in faith by growing. So the other side of that coin is, if we're not growing, we're not responding by faith. And the righteous shall live by faith. So if we are not pursuing God, if we're not pursuing wisdom, if we're not growing as disciples, we are faithless to the God who saved us from our sins. Who saved us from the world. Because he calls us to have knowledge. He calls us to have understanding of his word. And we are to know God's word thoroughly and intimately. Just like those disciples who spent 3 years every day talking to Jesus through word and prayer. And it is through the knowledge of his word that we grow in wisdom. If we don't know God's word, we won't have wisdom. Our world needs truth. And they will only get wisdom when the body of Christ speaks truth. Okay, look in the Bible, look at Joseph and Pharaoh. You have an unbelieving Pharaoh and a wise Joseph. Joseph offers wisdom and it blesses the people. You have a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, and you have a wise Daniel. Daniel speaks truth to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is converted. Was that good for God's people that Nebuchadnezzar became a Christian? Became one of God's people? Yes. When he came to faith, that was a blessing to God's people. God's wise people speak truth and offer wisdom. We encounter unbelievers in our lives, whether they're in family, whether they're in our neighborhoods, our communities, whether just pass them in our daily travels. Like leaven in the loaf, God puts us in places to speak truth and to offer wisdom. It's not by coincidence. We offer wisdom both to Christians and the world. And if we fail to have a right understanding of His Word, we have no wisdom to offer. If we don't have anything to offer because we need wisdom and truth, we fail in our role as God's people. Okay, so we have situations we encounter where people are speaking to us. We might not know why God has brought them to us, why God has brought us to them. But we have an opportunity to speak truth. And if we have nothing to offer because we don't have wisdom or we don't know what God's Word says, we have failed. He's sovereign over everything, even every little conversation that we have. We are in the business here at Hamlin Reformed of making disciples. You come here for many different reasons, but primarily you come to be discipled. You come to learn God's Word. Hamlin provides opportunities through preaching, through teaching, through Bible study. These are for your benefit to grow as disciples. They are for your sake to respond in faith to the grace God has given you. Now, you may be thinking, God doesn't say anything in the Scripture about Sunday school. God doesn't say anything about organized Bible studies at church, or even our command to go to an evening service. But we are commanded to learn and grow and obey all that Christ has commanded. And He commands us to get wisdom. Get it. Go get it. Pursue wisdom. It's found in God. Go to Him and ask for it. Now, I've heard here self-deprecating humor from within the body. I'm just a simple person. I can't understand all that deep stuff, God's Word. In a sense, this is humorous, right? Self-deprecating humor. But I'm afraid that we take that humor to the next level, which is reality. We think we're not capable of learning God's Word. You know, we know the basics. We know Jesus died for my sins. That's all I need to know to get to heaven. But God has called us to more than that. And we need to know that. Jesus did more than just died for your sins. Jesus freed you from enslavement to the devil. Jesus purchased the world with His precious blood and gives it to us. Jesus saved us to be a light to those who don't know Him. Jesus saved us to know Him intimately, to know Him well, to know His Word, and to obey all that He's commanded us. And that's just starting the list. And these are all blessings. So if we reside ourselves in simplicity, in I just need to know Jesus died for my sins, and that's enough. I'm not smart enough to know all the deep stuff. Then you're selling Jesus short, and we're selling the Holy Spirit short. To suggest that Jesus can't grow us as disciples? To suggest that the Spirit can't give us wisdom? That we're stuck in complacency? That we can't go any further? That the Spirit can't do more? That's not responding by faith. God has called us to be a witness in the area in which we live. God has saved us to be Christians in the communities where we find ourselves. And He has given you His Spirit to serve Him and grow in Him. And as we grow, we become more like Jesus. Boys and girls, thumbs up, thumbs down is a good thing to become more like Jesus. Yes. So as we grow, you can put your hands down. As we grow as disciples, we become more like Jesus. As we grow wiser, we become more like Jesus. So to say, that's not for me, is to say, I don't want to become more like Jesus. And as it pertains to this example in Acts 6, we will find ourselves in crises. There'll be situations in our lives, there'll be situations in the church. You might find yourself serving on consistory one day, and a situation comes before you, And there's no cross-reference in the Bible. We do a word search and we don't have a solution right in front of our eyes. So what do we need to exercise? Wisdom. And wisdom is not a light switch you can just turn on and say, you know what, I have consistory tonight. I should probably get wisdom before I go. It's a life of pursuing God. It's a life of living like Christ. It's a life of prayer and the Word and asking God to grow us in wisdom. So, practically, what do? You get in the Word daily. You read your Bible daily. You memorize it. Read Proverbs. Start with that. 31 chapters. Read a chapter a day for a month. And then do it again. And then do it again. Come to teaching opportunities at the church. Stick around for Sunday school. Come to evening service. Come to Bible studies throughout the week. If you have questions, remember I said earlier about elders? Elders are to have godly wisdom to answer your questions, so go to them. Go to those who have wisdom. If you have a Bible question, you have another question, come talk to your pastor. The Spirit commands us, church, get wisdom. It's there. God has it for you. He's calling you to get it. And when you pursue it, you are pursuing God. You're pursuing His truth. You're pursuing His character. You're pursuing His Word, His Son, by the Spirit. So go get it. Get it. Pursue it. Get wisdom. Start today. Go get wisdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.